Well, praise the Lord. Are you ready to be changed? There's been a prophecy already spoken. So we're going to hear some truth tonight. And everybody said, amen. Okay. I heard from the back that it was Joyce's birthday today or tomorrow? Tomorrow. It's our anniversary tomorrow. It isn't. It isn't. What is our anniversary? What is tomorrow? Okay, I'm wrong. I'm preparing in advance. Now, I'm not embarrassed because all that means is she knows I'm thinking about it. All that means is I'm a week ahead, right? So nobody can ever say I'm not prepared. Amen. All righty. Well, anyway, to let you know, the first is our anniversary and the second is her birthday. In case you think I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, we had to bring that up. Never say a few days. Say, you're much older than I am. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, this available time where we've come together in agreement that we want to hear your word. We want to learn. We want to change in Jesus' name. We want to add to the kingdom. We want you to add to us so that we can add to the kingdom. Let that be established here tonight. Give us ears to hear, an open heart to receive, and the determination to put it into effect so that we will never be the same in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says, amen. Well, have you all been practicing what Pastor Doyle taught Sunday? Don't laugh at me. I ask you if you've been practicing. That was a great message, right? Yeah, I may not respond like he wants, but I respond. We've laughed at several things this week, haven't we? Some together and some apart. Intend to do that some more. Amen? Okay, we're still... Here's what I call it. This is Covenant Part 5 and Forgiveness Part 2. To me, the covenant is... God gave us a covenant of the cross, right? Forgiveness, salvation. And part of that is a covenant is we have to do something. We have to. He didn't do it all, by the way. We'll go into more of that. First, bring up that Isaiah 33:6. This is the declaration that's been made over Wednesday night. I want to put it in your mind so that you know what's going to happen to you tonight. That is wisdom and knowledge. Stability. That is what you've come to, whether you realize it or not, that's what you're going to get tonight. Those that show up on Wednesday night are going to get wisdom, knowledge, and stability. We're going to add strength to your salvation. We're going to put the fear of the Lord in you. And that's going to make you a treasure to Him and give you treasure. Amen? Y'all believe that? All right. Then let's move on. Oh, by the way, did y'all enjoy last Wednesday night? Yeah? Would you... Never mind. Last Wednesday night was my birthday. So... But I was able to send somebody. I didn't have a voice when I woke up Wednesday. And I had one by the time church was there, but it was so weak, I probably couldn't have done 10 minutes. So I sent somebody. Hopefully she didn't take my job. Last week we talked about forgiveness. And do you remember what we talked about? Yeah, well, we talked about forgiveness. Let me give you a couple of things that hopefully we established a couple of weeks ago, and then I'm going to add to it a little bit. I gave you what I thought God gave me for Wednesday night, for truth, for revelation. And out of that, hopefully we received two things. Number one, this is what God spoke to me, that we have to forgive the entire world even before they ask for forgiveness or before they repent. Why? Because that's the way Jesus did it. And He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? Believe me, this is a lot more important than you think. We wrestle sometimes, which is a sin in itself, with forgiving people. We shouldn't wrestle at all. Jesus did not wrestle with forgiving you or any of your enemies. He said, before they're your enemies, before they commit sin, before anything's wrong, I forgive them. So no longer do we have to wrestle with those things that have been done to us because they are already pre-forgiven. You understand that? They are pre-forgiven, just like I am pre-forgiven. Now, if I don't believe that, I'm not pre-forgiven. And I'll back this up with Scripture. But if I believe that they're pre-forgiven, and I believe that I'm pre-forgiven, then it's the truth. Amen? And then I won't have any trouble forgiving what I misunderstand or what I see blatantly or whatever, some attack or some lie. I won't have any trouble with it. Because I can look at it and say, oh, well, if Jesus forgave it, I guess I have to. And it's done. I don't have to analyze it or fight with it or dream about it and toss and turn. I just toss it on Him. Say, all right. All right, number two. By the way, I believe that's a requirement. That we're, until, if we're going to operate in prosperity and power, if we're going to lay hands on the sick and have them recover, if we're going to see people saved, we have to be a church that has already decided that everything is already forgiven. You realize we have nothing to fight or worry over. There's no reason to leave a church where you're already pre-forgiven. There's no squabble. All right, number two. We even have to go so far that, as God has, we have to forgive those that are sending themselves to hell. Now, if you'll meditate on what I'm saying, you're going to understand that there are some obvious things that are not right. If somebody goes out here and I've got a child and that they drink and drink and drink, do drugs, whatever, and they killed my child, they're pre-forgiven. But you don't understand, they probably went to hell. It's not my business. Do they need forgiveness? No, I need to forgive them. You understand what I said? See, some people are going to go to hell. There's a lot of people that are going to go to hell. They're going to choose it. You're not going to send them. If you send them, you're going with them. And that's Scripture too. If you would enjoy them going to hell, you're going to meet them there. I hate to be rude, but that's the bottom line right there. If you can say to somebody, go to hell, and you mean it, you're going to meet them there. Because if you can't forgive, you're not forgiven. You must not believe so much that you join in with Jesus forgiving the whole world before their sin was committed. This is important stuff. This is big stuff I'm talking to you about. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future. All. He's not dying again. He's not going to do this again. He's waiting for you to believe that once was enough. For them and you. But I don't like them. It's all right. I don't like them. I don't like Brussels sprouts. I forgive them. They can be bad without my approval. Okay? I mean, it's free. Just forgive them. You know, I mean, life is... You realize that God just sent the rain to forgive the drought? The drought was an attack on us. And the rain forgave it. It eliminated the drought. It blessed us all. That's how forgiveness is. All right, tonight, we're going to study once again the benefits, the requirements of forgiveness. Now, I want to tell you something. Let's forget about forgiving others just for the moment. And let's talk about the one that most of us have the hardest time with, which is ourselves. You realize that that enemy that you think you have is not your worst enemy. It's you. It's the enemy speaking things into you about how bad you've been in the past and how many bad things you've done, and you believing them instead of believing Jesus died and you're already forgiven. But he didn't know about it. Yes, he knew. Yeah, he knew every sin that you ever going to commit, and he already forgave it. In fact, he did more than that. He took it upon himself and took it to the grave, back to hell. Now, last Wednesday night, Connie talked about what? Huh? It's how to come against strongholds, right? And that's a scripture I'm sure she used, but the point was strongholds. And so what I want to talk to you tonight about is strongholds that you've got in you. Still. And the biggest one is guilt. How do I know it's there? Because the enemy has talked to you about it on a continual basis. Continual basis. The church that I was raised up in, they kept you at the altar all the time because they told you that if you ever got where you were supposed to be, you'd never have wrong thoughts or wrong feelings. Well, that won't ever be until we no longer walk in this flesh. This flesh belongs to the world, so it's going to want to do worldly things. Well, Stan, what are you talking about? I'm talking about righteousness and holiness. That's what I'm talking about. Something that too many people don't want to talk about. But it's a requirement that we have. That's on us. We'll talk about it more in Scripture. All right. Love is forgiveness. Freedom is forgiveness. All right. John 3:16, if you will. Let's read this carefully. For God and Stan so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him. All right. First thing we got to do is what? All right. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when we believe, what do we get? Okay. Anybody in here needing everlasting life? Now? And for eternity, right? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. So if there's any condemnation in you or in you towards somebody else, it's not from God. It belongs to the world. Remember what I told you a while ago, that your flesh still belongs to this world? So in that, incorporated in that worldly flesh is condemnation. Our weapons are not carnal. What are they for? They're to override the carnal nature, the worldly thing that's in you that tries to drag you down. Not sin is done to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Might be saved? Listen, I want to tell you something. Just because Jesus died on the cross don't mean you're saved. Just because you know that He died on the cross don't mean you're saved. It says those that believe. Now, do you know what belief does? It forms the way you walk, talk, act. It changes things. When you believe something, it changes you. So let's just say when that gets a hold of you, that Jesus died on the cross for you, and you're forgiven and everybody else is, and you believe that, it will change the way you think. But the last person that's free in this is you. The last stronghold that needs to be taken down by you is you. Because you want to be guilty. It's part of your flesh, the worldly flesh. You want to be guilty of something. How can I explain that? I don't know. It's in your flesh. But when you believe that that's been taken care of, your decision, your believing will change your flesh. It's a process, but your flesh will change. All right. What do we get out of these two verses of Scripture? Number one, forgiveness is for all. Now I want you to run through your mind anything in your life or anything in anybody's life that you could think is too big to be forgiven. Can this clown that stole this girl for 18 years, is it too big to forgive? It may be too big for us to swallow, but it's not too big for God to forgive. So we're the one that needs to be worked on, not the salvation, right? Number two, everlasting life means everlasting life. It means now and forever. Please don't look for the rapture. Let's stop looking for the rapture. The Word's not even in the Bible. I don't know why we worship things that are not in the Word. Well, the salvation was done back then for us, not for eternity. Right now is salvation. So eternal life, everlasting life, blessed everlasting life is from now. And the Bible says that if we're saved and born again, we won't experience death. So if you're waiting for death to happen and you're saved, it may never start for you. You better start enjoying it now or you may never see it. You know what eternity is good for us right now? Nothing. Heaven is good for nothing right now. It's like the $1 million you're going to get from the lottery. It's worthless until you've got it. So let's stop looking for way out there. I'll fly away experience. I don't want to fly anywhere. The Bible says I want to be caught up in the Spirit. That means now. I want to be caught up in the Spirit right now. I want to be forgiven right now. And I want to enter into everlasting life right now because I've believed. Number three. As soon as I believe, it causes my direction and my actions to change. And number four, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you can walk in any kind of condemnation. That means you cannot condemn anybody else, and you can't be condemned. And you're the only one that can decide that through your belief system. See, we've got a bunch of laws in place that cause us to agree with condemnation. Do you understand that? We're kind of caught between flesh and spirit in a lot of things. Once again, like this guy that abducted that young lady, kind of held her for 18 years. You and I have to know that's wrong. Why? Well, because it's against everything that God is. God is love. He doesn't kidnap us and keep us for 18 years and make babies through us. That isn't the way He does it. So we know it's wrong. But we cannot judge. We can't judge. You mean I can't judge that it's wrong? I can say it's wrong for me. And I can judge, I can highly recommend it's probably not good for you. But that's about as far as I need to be going here. If I go to any further, I'm going to go in an area where I shouldn't be. Amen? You know how long it takes a guy to get saved? How long does it take a person to get saved? Microseconds? Well, you know, there's no real time. What I'm saying that to you for is he can say, I'm sorry, at any time and not ask you. And you, in other words, he can become a brother without asking you. And at any time, you must say, there's my brother. Why? Because he's born again, and his born againness is just as good as yours. We have to, if you want to change your belief system, start with that nobody can sin against me. There is no sin in the world that can be committed against me. It can only be committed against God, and God is the only one that can forgive. So when I use the word forgiveness, it's entering into the forgiveness that Jesus gave. You don't have the right to not forgive. You have the right to make wrong decisions and stand in the way. But your stand will not stop what God does. And if it did, you don't want that anyway. I want everlasting life, and I want it now. Is that okay? How about you? All right. Here's what God has started speaking to me the day after the Thursday after last Wednesday when I spoke this. He started saying, okay, let's practice this. Well, I'm out in the middle of the country. I thought I'd already released everybody. And then you know what I started experiencing? This is teaching. It's on OJT. It's on the job training. And that is that you would have a wrong thought. You knew it was wrong, but you had it anyway. And the Holy Spirit would say, okay, repent. Okay, I'm sorry about that, God. Now forgive yourself. Oh. See, don't take any condemnation for what your flesh wants to do. That's the point. You begin to start, and this is really good rule. Just as good as laughing right here. In fact, you can combine this with laughing, it'll work better. That the minute you have a wrong thought, or the minute you want to slap that wife of yours, or whatever it is that you want to do and you know you shouldn't do it, then you repent instantly. You repent and you say, you're forgiven. What are you doing? You're not releasing yourself. You're releasing yourself into what Jesus has already done. You're reminding yourself of what Jesus has already done. And I mean that happened over and over. And I don't mean every day. I mean multiple times every day. I would think about it, or I'd, you know, whatever, and instantly the Holy Spirit would say, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. It requires repentance. I'm sorry, I don't want to do that anymore. This is what this is fine-tuning the Holy Spirit's doing. He wants us to be tender to what's right and wrong so we don't have to repent so often. So you say, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that again. And then He'd say, forgive yourself. Oh, okay, Stan, you're forgiven. It works. And it's really good. It's equal to laughing. In fact, I'll take some of my own advice and start laughing every time I do that. I may end up laughing way too much. But this is what God has spoken to me, and this is what prompted me to go this direction. On a daily basis, we make mistakes, we have wrong thoughts and wrong ideas. Listen to me. That is not wrong. Do you understand? I'm already forgiven, so it can't be wrong. I don't want to cause you to stumble here, but I'm not going to worry about it because I've already been forgiven. So what is wrong? What is wrong about this is not dealing with it. See, there's no sin until it's, number one, you know it, and number two, you turn from what you know to do. So no matter if it's just, I ate too much. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't say it unless you're going to mean it. I don't want to eat that much anymore. I think I'm going to stop that. Okay, you're forgiven. Well, I wanted to wring that kid's neck. Well, So I think God once in a while says, well, I did too, but I won't do it. They're forgiven. Okay? We have to deal with it. We have to deal with these things in the same time it took to get saved. That means microseconds. All right, 2 Corinthians 10:3. This is how we do it. For though we walk in the flesh, why would the Bible point that out? Because God wants us to know that we're not in heaven yet. That means there we're going to stumble over some people, places, situations, things that causes us to want to wring some necks. Change some things the way I want them changed. Beat you over the head until you do it my way. What are you looking at me for? You know good and well you've had the same thoughts. These are the things, though we walk in the flesh, we're going to have, it's going to be in us. We do not war according to the flesh. Well, why is that? Well, because I'd have to kill myself. If my flesh is my enemy, then it's really not good to kill my flesh. Right? It's kind of like God said, I gave you that carcass to walk around in, use to talk. All I'm telling you is how to handle it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because carnal weapons are not mighty. But spiritual weapons, the ones we've been given, are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Are those things that we refuse to forgive ourselves for? Number 5. Okay. Casting down arguments. All right, where are the arguments coming from? Good place as any is point to your brain. It's still part of your flesh system. But you have a central system here that makes decisions. And if it's been subjected to the Word of God, it begins to start making correct decisions. If it's never subjected to the Word of God, it never makes correct decisions. So those people that are dumber than posts, at least that's the way they act, you'll know why. The Word of God has not touched their minds yet, and therefore you feel sorry for them. You don't feel mad at them. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the intimate relationship with the Word and with His person. Here's God. We see the way He does it. We read the way He does it. And any time we don't do it that way, it's an argument against the knowledge of God. And so what we do is we say, oh God, I know that doesn't look like you, doesn't act like you. I'm sorry, I don't want it in me. And He says, okay, you're forgiven. So you forgive you. Okay, I'm forgiven. Otherwise, I'll hold myself accountable, and I have no more reason to hold myself accountable as I do you. You hear what I'm saying? Now, you know a little more about you than you do me. I understand that. But Jesus knew more about both of us than we've ever thought about. And He said, you're forgiven. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Did Christ obey the Father when He went to the cross and forgave everybody? Then we have to bring every thought into that same captivity or the obedience of Christ. Now, this crud that we hear all the time, well, I just can't forgive. Well, that's just a big fat lie. You just lied against the truth. And I am to get angry with you for mishandling the Word. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There's nothing in the world that you can't forgive. Even if your father raped you, your mother beat you, your uncle and aunt stomped you into the ground, I don't want to hear that stuff. You have not forgiven that yet, so please tie it outside with the rest of the horse. Tie it out. You've not forgiven. Enter into forgiveness and watch God take care of your memory. Watch Him heal that tender spot. Come on. You want to walk in health? You want to walk in freedom and power? I'm telling you the way to do it. Verse 6. And you need to be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now that's not other people's, that's yours. When you think that you've done everything you can to obey, you're going to find out there's a little more. And you need to be quick and ready to do what the Holy Spirit tells you about punishing those thoughts, actions, deeds, and practice on you, no one else. We win, we gain power and joy when we, number one, recognize and call these things wrong. There's nobody in here that doesn't have some wrong thoughts once in a while. Wrong wishes. If you say you don't, a man that says he's no sin is a liar. He has no sin is a liar. What does that mean? That means there's still some stuff in you that you've got to handle on a daily basis. It is not sin unto death unless you turn it that way. It's missing the mark and you say, I'm sorry. Then you forgive yourself and you're back on the line. You're back on the wishes of Jesus Christ Himself. Number two, when we do wrong, we repent and turn from it. You are to meditate on the Word of God, not your thoughts. Jesus described the commission of adultery one time through thoughts. So if you meditate on adultery, you are committing adultery. But if that adulterous thought comes back in, comes into your mind, and you take dominion over it, you cast it down, become sorry for it, turn from it, you have done exactly what God has asked you to do. You've released yourself from the fleshly things and made yourself more spiritually minded. Number four, free yourself so that you finally can free others. Are you hearing me? I used this the other night, several Wednesday nights ago. Harold came up to me and he I don't even know what he prompted it, but it was like, rawr. That's kind of the way it is in the spirit. Sometimes when you hear something wrong, you need to attack it right there. And it was about forgiving, and I said, Harold, you're not forgiven. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you haven't forgiven yourself. And you haven't forgiven your father. I've worked very hard at forgiving my father. I said, I didn't say that. You haven't finished the work. I said, I sat here and watched you tell me something one time, and you became angry enough to where I could see it on your face because of something you have perceived that your father has done. I said, now you need to complete the action of forgiving him. Release him. Loose him. If you think he still owes God something, you loose him to God. And I said, then you take yourself home and forgive yourself for all of that wrongdoing. And he was very quiet when he left here. I thought, oh, I don't know if he'll talk to me anymore. Hurt me. He came back the next Wednesday night and he said, man, I did what you told me to do and I feel skinnier. I thought, well, that's kind of a strange way to put it, but praise God, I felt skinnier. The point being that when we do what God wants us to do, we will feel lighter, we will feel fresher, we will feel more joy, we will feel richer, we will be more powerful. If we don't do this to ourselves, we will never be able to do it to someone else. The reason he was able to completely forgive his father is because he made a determination to forgive himself. A selfish act? Yes. Just like the first time you repented and turned from your wicked ways because you didn't want to go to hell. That was a very selfish act you did. Well, so be it. That's the way God designed it. If the only way we can understand things is selfishly, then that's a beginning. God will change the understanding. Let's don't ever be ashamed that the first move towards God was a selfish move. It was a prompting of the Holy Spirit and arranged that way. Praise God. We must believe. We must reflect God to give Him glory. Amen? Does anybody in here want power? Because you can't help anybody else unless you have power. All right, John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, that means God's pretty sure about this. He's so assured that he says, it's got to be, and you've got to believe it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That's what believing causes. It causes us to be in such a right place with God. I believe I've got to forgive the whole world. I believe I've got to forgive myself. I believe I've got to forgive situations, person, places, and things that are hindering me, and once I believe that, I believe Jesus has pre-forgiven any situation. Once I believe that, then he says, the works that I do, if you believe that, I'll do it also. You'll do it also. What works? Everything you've ever read in the Bible. Raising the dead, healing the sick, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the dead will be raised. And then he says, And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Why? Why does him going to the Father cause us or allow us to do greater works? See, when Jesus forgave the whole world, he was then worthy, able, capable to walk right in the presence of God. And when we do what Jesus did, the way, the truth, and life, we walk right into the presence of God with him. Because we're clean. We're purified. We can walk into the Holy of Holies, and we don't contaminate the Holy of Holies. You hear what I'm telling you? That's why we'll do greater works. It's not that you can do a greater work than raising the dead, healing the sick, blind, see. It's a matter of we can do it more often. There's more of us that... I mean, there's an opportunity for the entire world to believe in Jesus Christ and the entire world to be healed and saved. Now, all I'm saying is, do you want to be part of that? When we learn to on a daily, moment basis, we forgive ourselves and others, we will do these things right here that's being described to us. His works, greater works, because we're walking right in the presence of God. Amen? Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask, it will bring me glory, God says. Okay? Whatever you ask that's like me, understand when you read about the name of Jesus, it's not talking about the name Jesus. It's talking about the man Jesus. The characteristics, the personality, the way it's done. When you do it the way I would do it, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father may be glorified in me. I'm a son. I walked into the Holy of Holies in Christ Jesus. I am forgiven, and everybody I've ever known or ever will know is forgiven. Boop! That means it's not on me. I don't have to worry about it anymore. All I have to now do is listen for the voice of God to touch some people that don't deserve to be touched. You hear me? Come on, that ought to set you on fire just a little bit. Church is not for saved people. Church is not for healed people. Church is for people that need to be saved and healed. If you ask anything in my name, the way I would do it, the reason you're asking is to glorify God, I'll do it. Verse 14. Is that right? Verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you do it for my glory. Now, believe it or not, I've got a formula for you. To get, we have to give. Everybody's heard that a jillion times, right? Well, it doesn't change it, doesn't lessen it, doesn't make it smaller. It still makes it the way, the truth, and the life. Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. All right. Here we go. Judge not. Remember I told you I haven't got any business judging? Wasn't my idea. I just want to make sure you understood it wasn't my brilliance. It was my obedience. Judge not. Why? Well, so you won't be judged. There's another scripture. There's only one person in the world that you have the right to judge, and that's you. And of course, by what I've just told you, you're not judging for eternity. What you're doing is judging right and wrong, which makes you decide to do right instead of wrong, which causes you to repent, which causes you to forgive. So that's what the judgment you are to judge yourself causes to happen. You walk in freedom. The only court in the world where you can judge and be free. Don't do it to anybody else. You don't have the facts. You don't have enough information. All right. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Why? You don't have enough information. Well, you mean that guy that stole that girl for 18 years, I can't condemn? No, you can't. You can say the action is wrong. You can say I hurt for them. You can say I'll never do that. I would never do that. I don't understand why anybody would do that. But stay away from condemnation. That man deserves life in prison. You don't know what he deserves. You don't know what he deserves. I know what you deserved. It was death. And Jesus saved you from that. So please don't think that he's worse than you. I don't think I'd want to live next door to him. But that's for his benefit. Not mine. I have nothing to fear from that animal. I mean that person. He would have to fear from me. I have been given dominion. Since he's not yet a child of God, he's still an animal. I've been given dominion over all animals. Come on. Until God the Father births you, you don't exist as a human. Well, you can chew on that for a while if you want to. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Now look here, here's the formula right here. What does the next sentence say? Forgive, and you will be forgiven. I'm going to submit to you right now, you may have gotten saved by the hair of your chinny chin chin, but you're not truly changed, you're not truly saved until you begin to forgive like you were forgiven. You are not safe, sozoed, until you learn to give forgiveness. Are you telling me I can lose my salvation? I'm guaranteeing it. There's the scripture that says it right there. I'm guaranteeing you until you get your hands off of people that the hands won't be off of you. That's why you have such a hard time. That's why we have such a hard time being forgiven, is because we wrestle with forgiveness. We want to look for ways out of forgiving some people. Verse 38. Give to get. Once you forgive, you're forgiven. Verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. We don't tie these two together. This is a nice tithe scripture. But let's be real. Give, and it'll be given to you. Forgiveness. Good measure, more than you deserve, in other words, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, you'll start enjoying forgiveness before you even knew you deserved it. Y'all can laugh now. That's included here. And it'll be put into your bosom. What we're talking about here is freedom. When you practice forgiveness, the thing that's always caused you condemnation, this joy and this forgiveness begins to rise up inside of you and run over. And not only do you have an abundance to give, you get an abundance. Because the Holy Spirit is just reminding you constantly that you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Don't let that bother you. You're forgiven. Now, is that so we continue to sin? Absolutely not. Because the Holy Spirit's in there somewhere telling you, You don't want to argue with Him too much. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Alright, one way, if you give, you get an abundance. Forgiveness. But if you give condemnation, or unforgiveness, it'll be given back to you in the same measure. That's God's rule, man. His blessings are bigger than the punishments. Until eternity comes. Let me give you the key to this thing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Matthew chapter 16. When Adam and Eve sinned, they owned the keys to the kingdom. The enemy stole the keys to the kingdom. Therefore, they walked in law in the entire Old Testament. The Holy Spirit did not walk with all of God's children. He picked very few, and He spoke to those, only to one man, and that man would lead the children. There was no revelation. Well, there was a few. There's a few prophets out there. But you understand what I'm saying? People could not walk in revelation, understanding live word. They had to obey the law. In other words, back then, if I said forgive, you might be required to make a long list, and then I make sure the man of God, you'd have to tell me that you went to those people, forgave them. And you might even be required to do penance, which is give them something back because of the way you've been acting. That's law. When Jesus went to the cross, He went and took back the keys. Do you hear me? He said, you don't deserve those. You earned them illegally, and I'm taking them back legally. So now the enemy doesn't even have any legal right at all to your life, to your health, to your possessions, to your future. Those keys have been taken away. Now here, look at what Jesus says. I will give you the keys to what? What I just mentioned. Your life, your health, your provisions, your strength, your joy. Keys. Not one key. Keys. So when Pastor Noah sits up here and talks about one of the keys is laughter, you've been given one of the keys. And he talks about forgiveness, it's another key. Put them together and you'll open a lot of doors. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, here's the scary part and the good part, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. One of the keys that's been given to you is wisdom, knowledge, stability. Isn't that what we declared to begin with? So he's not expecting you to go crazy with this promise. He's expecting you to act with his mind and his word. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, you'll be bound in heaven. So don't be binding people, because it binds you. We've already read that scripture. All right. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let me make a recommendation. The first person you loose is you. And if you run into this wall that says, oh, you got to loose that and loose that, that's the Holy Spirit telling you why you can't loose you. Take care of them. Take care of them. Whatever flag goes up, the Holy Spirit brings up in your spirit, loose it. Another word, by the way, nearly every word in the Bible of forgive means loose. Loosen. Loosen. Because whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I will remind you that you are all the provisions of heaven, keys of the kingdom, depend on this key right here. If you bind yourself by saying, I'm not capable of doing that, you're bound. If you're thinking about something, some other situation or person, I don't think I can forgive them, you have bound you. Forget them for a minute. I'm afraid to think about what you've done to them. I don't even want to go there yet. I want you to understand that you are bound. Heaven and earth. Provision and eternity. Well, you're trying to scare me. Uh-huh. Yeah, I am. This is the Lord speaking, right? The fear of the Lord is what we're going after. Not of me. Not of hell. I'm not threatening you with hell. I'm threatening you missing some heaven right now. That's what I'm telling you. Y'all still love me? I hope so. Turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 31. By the way, y'all see the keys, right? If there's not enough money, if there's not enough time, if there's not enough health, check for the forgiveness area. You and somebody else. In you and in somebody else. Have I totally forgiven the world? Or would I still like to spit on Obama's grave? Would I still like to get my hands on Bill Clinton's neck? Do I really hate that Bush? Come on. That's when I think about it. Look at this. This is so cool. You want to find out, if you can't think of anything else besides your provisions, look at this. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Why are you loosing that person? Why do you loose yourself from that thing that you did wrong? Well, look here. Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. My God needs you to loosen. Why? Well, it brings him glory. It causes salvation. It causes freedom. It causes joy. And his wealth is measured in those things. Scripturally, I'm speaking the truth to you. God's wealth is measured in not just numbers of souls, but how healthy they are. You need to learn this one. Because the Lord has need of it. Because the devil's going to tell you, well, you shouldn't forgive them. Oh, yeah, the Lord needs it. Say it, because the Lord needs it. Why? See, that's not just made up. That's word. All right, John chapter 11, verse 44. This is cool. I feel like the Lord spoke to me about this today. You remember when the man was dead? God said, come out of there. Well, he didn't walk out because he was bound. Are you hearing me? Check this out. He did not walk out because he was bound up. He had to float out. There's the miraculous of God. What is our job? Because God's always in the miraculous. Here it is. And he was bound, and his face was wrapped. He couldn't even see where he was going. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus didn't loose him. Jesus brought him to a place of loosening him. He couldn't walk, he couldn't speak, he couldn't see. He floated. Listen, God was going to do this in this church. He's going to do it to you. You better be ready. He's going to take that dead, bound, blind, speechless, hopeless person, and he's going to float him right in that back door. And he's going to, it's probably the person you hate the most. And he's going to, and the Holy Spirit's going to tell you now, you loose him. You take those things that you bound him up with, her up, you take them off. Right now. Why? Because I need it. That's why. Loose him. God's job is to bring him to a point of loosing. Your job is to do the loosing. Come on. Thank the Lord right now. You need to thank him for that. Just, you better thank him for that now so that it won't catch you off guard when it happens. By the way, when that happens, there'll be two people loose there. That person and the one that's doing the loosing. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, 15. Here's something we have to watch out for carefully. The enemy is sly and he's faithful. And he'll use things that you think you're responsible for to bind you. And you can get unforgiven by debts, worries. Come on. All right, let's look at this. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, are you hearing tonight? Do they leave here or they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity? I just told you that God's going to bring some people into your face that you have to loose. And it could be a challenge. They may stink. They may stink to high heaven and you've got to reach over and take and loose them. They may stink as bad as you used to. Not that bad. And you are so busy with the cares of life, or trying to make money, or trying to have fun, that you can't reach out there and loose that person. Therefore, there's no profit to the kingdom. You're not going to be mature, and you're not going to produce the fruit that God wants. When I was young, I acted like a kid. I thought like a kid. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to be mature. And when I was young, it took the whole world to support me. Now it's my turn. I need to produce some fruit. I need to help. I need to do some things. I need to get up in the morning excited about the fact that I may be required to loose some people. Amen? Verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Keep what? Keep the truth. Keep the call. Keep the picture of that bound up one coming in here that you got to loose. This is an exciting thing. This is not a scary thing. You heard the word with a noble and good heart. Honest, open, and pure. Forgiven. Remember I said you're going to have a hard time forgiving somebody else if at least you're not right now trying to move in forgiveness. It doesn't mean you're totally forgiven. I remember before I even knew Becky, I remember her coming right down there and just, she was wailing. And I thought, this lady wails every time a church service goes on. And I walked up to her, when she was down on her face, and this, by the way, I'm not gentle. I may be truthful, but I'm not gentle. And I got down there and I said, God wants me to tell you that he doesn't ever want to see you do this again. You get up now. That's not exactly altar decorum. You know what the Holy Spirit was telling her right then? You're forgiven. Whatever you're working on, forget it. It's done. And I wasn't smart enough then to tell her right. I'm telling you now. You're forgiven. You're forgiven from the load that you're putting on yourself. We put these even the enemy will help us put these high things up here, these high goals. And when we don't reach them, he turns it into guilt and condemnation. Well, we set the goals. We set those at his suggestion. We just read the scripture that all I got to do is sit right here and some dead out, stinking outfit's going to float in here and all I got to do is loose them. Boy, that's hard work. God does the catching and bringing work. I don't have to do it. You got to forgive yourself from cares. 1 Corinthians 2:12. I'm nearly through. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now. I love scriptures that start with now. Because I'm not a patient man. Forgive me, Glenn. You're forgiven, he said. Did you hear that? I heard it. Did you hear it? All right. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely. How much did it cost us? Freely given to us. Things. Not one thing. Things. How do I get things? I give forgiveness. Do you hear me? If I'm worried about things, then first I forgive myself from things. I release myself. I loose myself from things controlling me. And what do I get? Things. Freely. I don't understand what you just said. I don't care. All I did was quote scripture to you. You meditate on them until you get it. John chapter 20, verse 23. I told you it wasn't smooth. John chapter 20, verse 23. Y'all can say amen even if you think it might offend me, because it won't. You're forgiven. Look at this. I don't want to put pressure on you much, but I do want to put some on you. What does the scripture say? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Does that mean they can go to heaven? No. It means you just entered into the mind of Christ. He's waiting for them to believe. They have to believe. He goes in, he finds a dead man that's bound, he brings them out to a position where they can be loosed. You are the looser. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Well, how can that be, Stan? Because your decision determines how you see them. God only, on the last day, reads the book. You don't have the book. You don't have it. So now, before the book's ever read, like Jesus did, you got to forgive. So guess what? I began to start seeing everybody forgiven. Because the scripture says so. All right. Can I have 5 more minutes? That's how close I am. Here's your keys to forgiveness. I don't have as many as last time I narrowed them down. 1, you got to know the forgiver. And when you know the forgiver, that'd be Jesus, you know how easy it is to forgive. As soon as you realize how easy it was for him to forgive you, you realize how easy it is for you to forgive. 2, you got to understand it was hard for Jesus to make it easy for you to forgive. That's why you're going to be so thankful. He doesn't require you to go through the same thing as he did. He did it for you. Right? 3, we will forgive or we will not be forgiven. 4, unforgiveness is death and destruction. Forgiveness is abundant life. Which one do you choose this day? 5, Jesus... Jesus forgives. We do it like he does it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No. That's in case you thought you had a vote. Not a democracy, it's a theocracy. There's no voting here. Unless you say life and death is a vote. 6, nothing is too big to forgive. So don't forgive people based on how little or big their sin is. Nothing is too big to forgive. 7, all is pre-forgiven to those that believe. 8, forgiveness can never be earned. It can only be given. Please remember that one. Those people that have done you wrong, at least you think they did you wrong, They can't earn forgiveness. You have to give it freely. Why? Because they can't do good enough. They can't do enough good to please you. So you have to already be pleased. You're pre-pleased, pre-forgiven. Man, y'all are being quiet with the amens. You're sure holding back. It says you freely give, you freely get. You need to remember that. Number 9, holding an offense is holding you in bondage. Forget them. Holding an offense is holding you in bondage. Let it go and get free. 10, forgiving releases all provisions and power. Anybody in here wants to be gooder, wants to be better, wants to be more powerful, you're going to be more forgiving. Because forgiving releases all provisions and power. Number 11, forgiveness is not based on equality or fairness, just on giveness. Did you hear it? The size of the sin don't count. Whether you agree or not doesn't count. All forgiveness is based on giveness. The 4 is pre-forgiveness. Number 12, forgive, be free. You want to feel skinnier? Forgive. You want to feel lighter? Forgive. All right. How many more times must we hear this? I don't know. God only knows whether you listen or not. He may say that I need to do that again. Don't care. Your healing is based on your forgiveness. Please, no condemnation. Remember, no condemnation. If you've got a pain that won't go away, I am not speaking condemnation. Don't let the enemy tell you that. Don't let him put it on you. You're already forgiven. Therefore, you have every right in the world to walk pain-free. So your work is to laugh it off, is to believe it off, is to believe that Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross. But before that, before the salvation came, he took bruises and stripes so that you would make sure that as soon as you entered into forgiveness, you were already healed. Amen? Come on. Anytime we speak word, there's no condemnation with word. Don't walk away from here all downtrodden because, oh, I think I have not quite forgiven enough. That's the enemy speaking to you. You've forgiven enough until God says you need to forgive a little more, and he will do it politely. He will do it with light. He'll make you feel skinnier by doing it that way. Amen? Don't you forget this message, and don't you forget last Sunday's. Put them together. When the enemy comes to you with a stronghold, a reminder of something that you either got against somebody, or somebody's got it against you, or you just quite haven't released it yet, just repent. Ha! Laugh! Ha! You think that can send me to hell? You think that can steal my provisions? Not a chance, fool. That's the enemy. You can call the enemy a fool. You can. Why? Because he was in heaven. He got himself kicked out. That's a fool. Just be free. This whole thing is about you being free, because you cannot do the work that God wants you to do without you being free. If God floats in a stinky person in here that's all bound up, he's going to have a hard time speaking to somebody that's all bound up to free him. Your hands are bound by your own guilt feelings. Get rid of them. But you don't know what I did. Neither does God. Because he said, I don't remember him anymore. So would you quit playing the fool or the partner of the enemy? Tell him to get behind me, Satan. Even if you're talking to you. Fight this war with spiritual. You want some power? Fight! And all of a sudden, the enemy and your friends and your enemies will start saying, ooh, I ain't messing with them. All right, stand. Did you get something out of tonight? Then don't let it be stolen. Don't let it be stolen. In fact, start practicing the minute you walk out of here. Start forgiving yourself. Start forgiving when the enemy reminds you of things. Forgive, 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 forgive. Free, loose. Repent. Turn from it. Practice that and watch some skinny come on. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the freedom and the power that you've spoken into these hearts and lives tonight. Let the enemy not steal from them their rightful place in the kingdom with the rightful keys that they own. We say to you, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in these earthly vessels that is in heaven. Forgive us this day those things that we have not forgiven ourselves yet. We receive it, and now we forgive ourselves. We join with your mind and say, I am as forgiven as you said I am. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am as forgiven as you say I am. I walk in as much power and freedom as you say I do, and I'll hear no other voice. Now you're my own. In Jesus' name. Your people are free. And they're going to spread it like wildfire. It cannot be put out. In Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees with this prayer, say amen.
Amen.
One chance. Anybody need to be prayed for? You got a burden you're carrying? You want somebody else to help you? Some pain? I don't care what it is. Float on up here if you have it. We'll lose you. It's an opportunity, not a threat. Praise the Lord. Anything else? We got time if you got the... Anyone else? This is the place of deliverance. I'm telling you, healing and salvation follows word. This is a good place to receive or join in with those that are receiving. All righty. Some bonds just got loose. Amen? That is healing, by the way. You don't think that dead man that was all blind and couldn't speak, couldn't walk, didn't feel a little bit better when they were removed? You're mistaken. That's healing. The greatest healing that you've ever had was salvation. A dead person went away, a live person took its place. That is the greatest miracle. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. We agree in Jesus' name that something happened to that young man and he will never, ever, 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 ever forget. Ever. Anyone else? We got time. If you got the desire to be helped, we've got the time to help. Praise the Lord. I don't hear anybody laughing. See, every person that comes up here, the threat of death is on them. You understand that? The enemy doesn't stop by saying, oh, well, I'm going to give you a hangnail. That's just the first step to taking your life. So what happens up here is life is restored.
Hallelujah.
Free in Jesus' name. No weapon will ever be formed against him that will prosper if he believes. Amen?
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Heart's clear? Man, it'd be a shame to leave here with a heavy heart. It'd be a real shame. We believe in Jesus' name that everybody that asked for help tonight, they've been healed, restored, and changed in Jesus' name. They need to believe the same thing. Amen? You've got to believe. That was the key tonight. You have to believe. Amen? All right. We prayed. It's done. As Jesus says, it is finished. I'll be dismissed.